Amen. Well, today we are in our third weekend of focusing on the Psalms, our road trip, so to speak, through these 4 weeks of journeying alongside of the Psalms, the songs of faith for God's people. Imagine it is kind of like a four-week road trip, that you have tuned your radio into the XM station entitled The Psalms, and we are lifting up a couple of the greatest hits each week, psalms that orient us with praise toward God, psalms of disorientation when God's people are calling out for help, and psalms of reorientation like our psalm this morning. Now, last week, Pastor Jason focused on psalms of disorientation, and Psalm 69 was the featured psalm on the playlist. That psalm begins with two words, save me. Here, the psalmist is found in the midst of rising waters, muck and mire threatening to pull him in deeply, and yet he cries out to God, save me. Interestingly, as this week has unfolded, we have experienced flooding right here. Some of you perhaps have been experiencing that flooding in your own basements, or perhaps have friends or family members. Maybe you simply had water that came a little too close to your house, or you saw the images of rerouted traffic on Highway 52 because of floodwaters around Pine Island. A couple of years ago, my parents' home was flooded in their basement. It wasn't because they were in a low-lying area or even near a creek or a river, but rather their sump pump gave out an inch of water, which you wouldn't think would be a big deal, but oh, what a pain, what a mess. My family and I went down to help them out, and I had a whole new sense of empathy for those experiencing flooding. But as you have probably experienced or witnessed, in times of crisis, it seems the best of people come out, people helping one another in times of need. It would be the Luther College wrestlers in Decorah, Iowa, who would come into my parents' basement and haul out that wet-soaked carpet pad. What a gift to them in a time of crisis. Psalms help us orient ourselves in times of crisis. And so it is in this psalm, Psalm 27, that we find ourselves reoriented into where we can find strength and hope. It is in the gospel today that Jesus helps us to reorient our thoughts when we are seeking the help of God, especially in times of anxiety. Matthew's gospel, these words of Jesus are familiar to us. We have heard them before. Jesus saying, do not worry about anything. Well, that's easier said than done. But Jesus says, look to the birds of the air. Look to the flowers in the field. If God provides for them, how much more will God provide for you, even in the midst of your worries, even in times of crisis, when you wonder, what will I eat? What will I wear? Jesus says, trust and do not worry. Now that's easier said than done, is it not? Some people are just wired to be worriers. Maybe you are one of those people, or maybe you know someone or live with someone whom you would say is a worry wart. A husband was talking with his wife about all of his concerns and worries. His wife, exasperated, said, why do you worry so much? It doesn't do any good. Oh no, the husband retorted. Did you know that 95% of what I worry about never happens? Or did you hear about the man whose left side was cut off? But don't worry, he's all right now. So we can be all right, even in corny jokes. We can at times worry and wonder. It's just part of how we are built, even if we aren't a worry wart. Sometimes it is the worry of an impending diagnosis. Maybe we are worried about finances, how it is that we will pay all the bills. Maybe we are worried and feel anxious about our children or grandchildren and the increasingly complex world in which we live. Or perhaps we read the news and we think of ourselves on this July 4th coming up as a nation that enjoys freedom, but perhaps we are worried or anxious about the state of our world. Or maybe we are just concerned with things that are truly out of our control. Even so, Jesus gives a strong word that each day has worries of its own. Why add to them? Instead, Jesus asks us to focus on the kingdom, to seek it first, the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, all will be well. So then, the Psalms function in this way for us. Whether we sing them together or pray them or hear them spoken, these Psalms help us to find our strength, our stronghold in God, to first seek out that which God promises to us. And then we find light even in the darkness, and we need not be afraid. The Psalms gift us with hope and not fear. Walter Brueggemann, who is an Old Testament scholar who has spent a great deal of time working with the Psalms, has said that one of the great gifts of Psalms like Psalm 27 is that they do orient us to have complete trust. When we have complete trust, we discover that this psalm and its words help us to solely rely that everything in our life is staked on the reliability of God. Let me repeat that. Our life is staked on the reliability of God. That's trust, folks. That's true, true trust that God will provide, that we need not be anxious, that we have a light that is secure and will lead us through any darkness. I invite you, as we did a couple of weeks ago, to find your hymnal in front of you, to open it up to Psalm 27. It is in the front portion of your hymnal, and as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, these are, in fact, songs of faith. They begin our hymnody, so I can't give you a page number. It truly is one of the songs that we sing as people of faith in worship. Psalm 27 is attributed to King David. If you were to look up this psalm in your Bible later today, you will see a note underneath, a song of King David. Now you know who King David is, a great king of the Old Testament, the great one hoped for and longed for God's people. King David was a great leader, but he was not without his struggles, and he was not without his enemies. We hear that in Psalm 27. For listen to the military language in verses 2 and 3. Evildoers close in against me, verse 2. Verse 3, armies encamp against me. War rises up against me. Now, I've never served in the military, nor have I ever been in the midst of a war, but as I read this psalm, I can feel the anxiety. I can feel the sense of being crowded in on all sides, perhaps having no escape. And yet, what orients this psalm right from the beginning? Confidence. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, if you didn't read what follows, you'd think he was very confident, especially when you read that he is encircled by those who could take his very life. Now, keep your hymnal open for a moment. Eugene Peterson has taken great efforts to translate Old and New Testament into modern language. So if you're like me and having never served in the military or been in a war situation, sometimes I need the Psalms to speak to me in words that connect to my own life experience. Here is how Eugene Peterson translates those same verses. When vandal hordes ride down ready to eat me alive, those bullies and toughs fall flat on their faces. When besieged, I am calm as a baby. When all hell breaks loose, I'm collected and cool. In those times that you have had all hell break loose, perhaps you have found a peace that passes understanding that you can attribute to your faith in a reliable God. Maybe even in the midst of the storm this past week, even as you saw images of that shelf cloud looming over Rochester and wondering what was coming our way, there was a strength and a peace that made you calm as a baby, collected and cool. For David, then, it is this orientation to his strength and light. And how will he stay in that place? How will he set his mind first on that? Well, I invite you to look at the verses that follow in 4-6. David says he will make himself a sanctuary. One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. Again, words of shelter and sanctuary in verse 5. God will give me shelter, hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary. And what will David do in this place of sanctuary? Lift up praises to God. Sometimes people may give you a hard time as to why you would spend time here in this sanctuary. Why go to church? I can worship God anywhere, they might say. Why take time out of your weekend to be in this place? Simply think of the words of the psalmist, of David himself, that in this sanctuary we orient ourselves to the reliability of the promises of God. Yes, those promises are with us always. But here in the shelter of this place, we find our center, and we find we can weather any storm with the help of Jesus at our side. Again, Eugene Peterson takes those words of David and translates them into language that we can relate to. I am asking God for one thing, he says, only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty. I'll study at his feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world, the perfect getaway, far from the buzz of traffic. God holds me head and shoulders above all who try to pull me down. I'm headed for his place to offer anthems that will raise the roof. Already I'm singing God's songs. I'm making music to God. Raising the roof. Here in this sanctuary, we can not only be gifted with comfort and peace, but in our praise, raise the roof, so that God hears and knows of our gratitude and joy. Some of you know, as you heard in the announcements, that 20 of us returned recently from an 8-day trip to Puerto Rico. It was in this time that we spent 4 of those 8 days working with Lutheran Social Services and Lutheran Disaster Response. Now, the hurricane, Maria, that hit just 2 years ago continues to wreak havoc on the people who are rebuilding their lives after such devastation. Our group divided into 3 different teams, and literally one of the groups actually took down an entire second level of a home that just had no chance of rebuilding, and then later they put a brand new roof on another house that has been waiting nearly 2 years for better shelter. Some in our group power washed roofs and then put on a sealant so that the water could not seep into their living spaces. And some of us, who are a little less skilled in the roofing department, painted. We painted with gusto, let me tell you. We added a little light to the home of a man named Esteban. Now, Esteban had very simple surroundings. He was tended to by a social worker who had been assigned to him. Each of the homes in which we worked allowed us to get to know the people for whom we were serving. Now, Esteban spoke little to no English, but his social worker did, and she was a resident of Puerto Rico as well. She shared with us one day as we joined in lunch, she shared with us her experience of the hurricane, how it came in with some warning, but not nearly enough. In fact, when communication was cut off and the rains were relentless, she said she gathered with her family, the rains beating on her own roof and home. And she said she prayed the Lord's Prayer over and over again for nearly 2 hours, she said, Our Father who art in heaven, over and over. even in the midst of that terrifying time, her shelter, her sanctuary, she said, was knowing that God was with her and her family. Now, as you know, in the midst of that hurricane, there was great damage, but one of the greatest losses was the fact that electricity took not just days, not just weeks, but months to be restored for people. In order to find light, they would have to rely on flashlights and solar-powered lights in their homes, generators going almost 24/7, except maybe in the hours of the night when it was a bit cooler. For the people of Puerto Rico, their light would come from their resiliency, from the gift of community, and from those whom we got to know in this past week, and in partnership with our congregation, we understood that faith was also their strength in the midst of struggle. In that same home where I was painting, Esteban would simply sit and watch, sometimes getting up to exercise or to visit with his social worker. As we were painting and talking amongst ourselves, I happened to notice Esteban in the corner simply reading something. My nephew, who traveled with us and speaks Spanish, I asked him to go over and ask Esteban what he was reading, and it was the Bible. He said he was reading the New Testament. It gave him strength. Well, I realized later that certainly Esteban was one who trusted in the light, in the power of God's grace. For in the one picture hanging on his wall, in his entire home, a picture of himself as a young man, handsome, in the corner of that picture was a smaller picture, a postcard, actually. And on that postcard was a picture of Jesus meeting Mary at the empty tomb. Here was his light. Here was his salvation. It was a great witness to me in the midst of what had been a storm he had weathered and continues to experience in his life. This is your light this day, this hope in the resurrected Christ, who is your light, your salvation, your stronghold. No matter the storm that may be brewing, no matter the storms you have weathered, this light is secure. This stronghold is yours to hold onto, to trust in no matter what. Take courage in this good news and do not be afraid. Amen.